Well, welcome back, ladies. In this segment, we do our Bible study, and here we are with our teacher, Beth Seifert, who is going to teach us in the book of Romans. Thank you, Beth.
Thanks, Amy. Today, we're going to continue to see the way that the Spirit works in our lives, and one of the things that the Spirit does to help us draw nearer to Christ. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading today in Romans chapter 8. We'll be reading verses 18 through 25. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation itself waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Paul, in jail in Rome, after all the other abuse and violence he has suffered, says that he doesn't consider the sufferings of this present time worth comparing, not even worth discussing, to the glory that is to be revealed in us. Wow! Ponder that a moment. All the sufferings that Paul has gone through, and they were real, and they were painful, and they were hard. He sees them from an eternal perspective, not a temporal one. He sees how short those sufferings truly are, how insignificant they are, especially compared to what we will have revealed to and in us. Paul is looking forward to the resurrection of the body and the time when Christ comes to complete the work that he has begun in us. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. There's so much here, ladies. Not only will his glory be revealed in him, and we will be in eternal fellowship with him, but his glory will be visible upon us in our perfected bodies, in the knowledge we will have, and the holiness that will be upon us for eternity. Compared to those realities, the sufferings of this lifetime are not worth bringing up. It would be like whining and complaining about a paper cut. Now, don't get me wrong, I know that those hurt. Doing that in the middle of a battlefield where men and women are dying hideous deaths all around you. That paper cut, it doesn't compare. Sufferings in this world, and don't misunderstand me, sufferings exist and they are hard and they are unavoidable. But they cannot break our connection with God. The Spirit continues to give us hope and point us to our eternal inheritance, all the while being our down payment for our promised inheritance. Now, here's something that I just like to roll around in my brain. Creation itself waits the revealing of the sons of God. Now, in my head, I picture rocks and trees and bugs waiting, holding their breath for God to complete his plan and restore the earth to its pre-fall state. All of creation is not as God had originally planned. All of creation is suffering from the effects of the fall. Here, Paul personifies the entirety of the physical universe as if it were longing for transformation to reverse the effects of the curse. Now, rocks don't really hold their breath. However, all of our world, our physical universe, it's not as it was supposed to be. It's unable to fulfill God's original purpose. So, we wait for the redemption and the renewal that is promised. It is in the hope of this redemption that we are saved. The revealing spoken of here is literally an uncovering or an unveiling. When Christ returns, God's children, that's us, will share his glory. Our hope is not in what we have seen. That's not hope, that's trusting your senses. Our hope is in what we have been promised, and therefore we must wait for it patiently. Yeah, pretty sure Paul hadn't met me when he wrote that part. I don't wait very patiently for anything. And yet, it is for his purpose that we must wait. It is for his glory that we must wait. So while I wouldn't say I necessarily wait for it patiently, I definitely wait for it eagerly. Verse 23 points to this truth as it describes the first fruits of the Spirit. Just as the first fruit pieces of produce to appear on a tree give hope of the full harvest to come, the fruit which the Spirit produces in us, especially as we read in Galatians 5 verses 22 through 23, those provide the hope in us that one day we will be like Christ. Yet in the meantime, we groan with grief over our remaining sinfulness while eagerly longing for the full inheritance that we know is promised. It is only when our mortal bodies are transformed that the life we now have will be fully visible and final. It's only when this transformation occurs that our sonship and daughtership will be revealed and we will be fully conformed to the image of God's Son. There's a sense of incompleteness to our Christian experience, and that's not by accident. This is not what we are called to. We're called so much more, and this knowledge and hope in us draws us forward as we long for that incompleteness to be overcome. It will only happen when Christ returns, yet we still long for it. And we may flippantly say things like, "Oh, my back hurts today, and I long for the time when I have my new body so that my back doesn't hurt anymore." But there's so much more to it than that. While that's definitely true, that there will be no pain and there will be no suffering and there will be no death in heaven, that's only a small part. There's so much more that is the seed of promise that is within us through his Spirit. And we can't see that. We can't see that in this broken and fallen world, but one day we will. We have no idea how amazing it truly will be when Christ returns and this world is restored to what it's supposed to look like. I have a feeling some of those bugs that I imagine holding their breath are gonna be disappointed, because I just have this feeling that mosquitoes were not supposed to be around, but that's my own opinion. So my question for us all today is this. Do you know that whatever your circumstance today, that it's for his glory? That the illness that you're dealing with, that is debilitating, that keeps you homebound, that God has a purpose for that, for you and for him, for his glory? Do you know that the hurt that you're dealing with in relationships with those precious loved ones, that has a purpose for God's glory? Even if you have sinned and you are dealing with the consequences of that sin, God is not working on plan B to fix that sin that you committed. He's still on plan A. Does that bring you comfort or does that make you angry? Do you look at where you are and think, "Why? Why, God? That's not fair." Or do you look at where you are and think, "I don't understand, God, and it hurts. But help me to endure and help me to glorify you." Ladies, there's a huge difference between those two thoughts. One says, "I'm right and you're wrong, God. Get in line with me." And the other says, "I don't understand, but I'm willing to get in line with you, God." One says God is capable of wrongdoing. The other says that you're in pain, but still striving to trust him. Where are you at today?
Well, thank you, Beth, for that Bible study. And ladies, remember, you can find all of the podcasts that Beth has recorded for us, as well as wonderful notes that she has for us on our website. Just go to the Bible Studies tab, naomistable.com, and download to your heart's content. We'll be back to talk more about this lesson in just a moment.